Good morning. How good it is to be together on this beautiful March day, the first Sunday in the season of Lent. I trust you know that no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, as always, our deep desire is to meet you where you are and share God's love with you. It must be Lent because I have a list of announcements to share with you today. Hopefully some of them will catch your attention, and if you can't remember them all, most of these will be found in our Herald or Enlightener or on a Facebook page, so listen up. Many have been inquiring about ways to help as we deal with the disastrous situation now going on in Ukraine. We all feel so very helpless and want to do something. I can share with you that through the United Church of Christ and Global Ministries, we do indeed have partners on the ground in Hungary and Poland and surrounding countries around Ukraine, and they are already responding with humanitarian aid in those areas. So one of the ways to contribute toward that cause is to make contributions. You can make your checks out to St. John's, but on the memo line, put Ukrainian Relief Fund, because we will then send it through the UCC. They know where to direct those funds and make sure they get where they need to go and can be best used. We will also be providing a list of other good charities that you might support should you choose to do so. That will be available in the week ahead. One of our council members, Dan Panachida, has compiled that for us. Some very good news. This is the last Sunday we will be asking you to wear masks during worship. Starting next week, I thought it significant as I looked at the calendar. Next Sunday is March 13th, exactly 2 years to the day from when everything closed down and life came to a screeching halt. Things are moving in the right direction COVID-wise at this point. We feel it is safe for us to be able to worship together without masks on, but we also ask you to please be respectful of those who choose to continue to wear masks for a variety of reasons. One of the reasons we didn't simply say take your masks off today is because many of you come knowing you'll feel safe here with your mask on. So we want folk to be properly prepared as we step into the future. We will be paying very close attention to what is going on in the world around us, in our community, and our leadership will be making careful decisions as we move forward. But as someone said, it will be nice to see everyone's smiling faces for a change. A reminder that the carryout connections for the month of March, the bags are out in the narthex for children, grandchildren, neighbors to whom you've been taking our Sunday school bags. We simply ask that when you take the bags with, let us know you've taken them, sign on the sign-out sheet. And our Lenten study starts this week on Wednesday evening. It will take place in the library from 7:30 to 8:45, and you are most welcome to join us as we discuss Rachel Held Evans's book, Wholehearted Faith. Goodie box items are due next week, as well as addresses of young people you want to make sure get a goodie box away at college, and goodie box goodies may be left in the library on the table. I suspect many of you noticed as you arrived this morning that we had some wonderful Girl Scouts to greet us and welcome us. It is Girl Scout Sunday. They have claimed a front row spot here, and it is good to have them among us. And they will be helping out during worship, but it is always good to have them in our building doing their good work. And you'll notice there is a flyer in the bulletin this morning calling attention to our Girl Scouts, and we thank you for being present with us today. And finally, hopefully you've been paying attention to the announcements in your Herald. There was an announcement recently regarding the United Adults Sunday School class, which took a brief break during the last several weeks, but will be resuming next week, and wants to encourage folk to join them. And I'm just going to share with you the announcement that was written because many people have ideas about what that Sunday School class is and isn't like and who it's for. Please join us. We are regular people, not Bible experts, seeking to find meaning for our lives in God's Word. We welcome new ideas and different perspectives. If you are an adult of any age who wants to gain more understanding of Scripture, please give our class a try. Whether you read your Bible every day or can't remember the last time you saw a Bible, our class might be right for you. Bring your coffee, bring your Bible or not, bring a friend. And they gather in the library from 9 to 10, so keep that in mind. They will be resuming next week and eager to have as many who are interested join them. Okay, more than enough announcements for one Sunday morning, to be sure. I'm going to invite you to join with me now in taking a deep and a slow breath. Breathe in God's presence in this place. Allow that presence to calm your spirit, to clear your mind. As you breathe out, let go of the many things that are weighing you down or distracting you. May we, as we worship together, experience God in ways that are compellingly real. Amen. Upon noting today's theme, my initial response was to say to myself, wilderness companions. Those are two words I would not be inclined to place side by side. Think about it. For starters, the wilderness is a place where there are more trees and streams, or rocks and sand dunes, than there are people. A place where we would be more likely to find things that go bump in the night than human beings who might qualify as a companion for the journey. Wilderness suggests solitude, and more often than not, people seek out wilderness places because they long to be alone. Now, given this is the first Sunday of Lent, you might respond by saying, but wait, Jesus had a companion in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, right? And you would be correct. However, I'm not sure how good a companion the devil was. Nor do I would think that I would want the evil one to be my companion for any length of time, let alone 40 days and 40 nights. Thankfully, Jesus had another companion who was not visible, but was nonetheless present, a companion we count on, especially in wilderness times, a companion without whom we cannot survive. As we enter into this season called Lent, we are counting on God to be our companion and our guide, a very present help in trouble. Seeking to encounter this much-needed companion, we enter now into worship in the name of God, Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I invite you to join with me in praying the prayer of confession printed in our bulletin. Let us pray. Loving God, when we find ourselves in wilderness times and places, lost, alone, afraid, floundering, how easy it is to allow the darkness to consume us, our perspective to become distorted, or the negative voices swirling around us to gain the upper hand. It is in these very times and places that you have promised to meet us, providing direction, hope, and strength beyond our own. Forgive us, gracious God, and help us to sense your presence when the darkness begins to close in. Help us to remember to look for you when we have lost our sense of direction. Enable us to find the courage and resolve we will need to navigate the wilderness and whatever the future may hold. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God does indeed meet us in the wilderness. And when we are in the wilderness, God does indeed forgive our sins. God's promise is sure. When we confess our sins, God is faithful. God is just. God forgives us and cleanses us from all that is not right. For this gift, we say thanks be to God and pray that we will live into it each and every day. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading is from the book of Psalms, chapter 91, Psalm 91, verses 1 through 2, and then skipping ahead to verses 9 through 16. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me, I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation." And our gospel reading is from the book of Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. You will hear within this passage the words that I just read from our psalm as it makes reference to them. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where the 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing at all during those days, and when they were over, he was famished. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become a loaf of bread." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'One does not live by bread alone.'" Then the devil led him up and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And the devil said to him, "To you I will give their glory and all this authority, for it has been given over to me, and I give it to anyone I please. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered him, "It is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve only him.'" Then the devil took him to Jerusalem and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone.'" Jesus answered him, "It is said, 'Do not put the Lord your God to the test.'" When the devil had finished every test, he departed from him until an opportune time. As always is the case at our 10:15 service, I have a special message for our children. The day is coming soon when we will invite our children to come forward and join us in the chancel. But for today, I'm going to stand up here and give our message. It's a message for our young ones and for everyone young at heart. We are officially in the season of Lent. Just like we have four seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter, the church has seasons as well. And this season is called Lent. It's a time when we have the opportunity to push aside all the stuff that gets in the way between our relationship with God and us. I bet many of you have heard about giving things up for Lent. Oftentimes, it's things that tempt us, like chocolate or another maybe unhealthy food. Some people give up caffeine or TV or a bad habit they have. And that's really where this idea comes from. In fact, our scripture lesson that I just read from Luke is all about Jesus being tempted in the wilderness. Now, Jesus was not tempted by chocolate or coffee, but he was tempted to listen to other voices other than God's. He was tempted to use his power in ways that didn't honor God just to get ahead. We humans get easily distracted by things that make us feel good right away. Things that make us popular or look like we've got it all, even if it's not true. But God moves differently. And oftentimes, God is listening to and responding to our needs or our wants and our prayers a lot slower than we think he should, or in ways that surprise or confuse us. Lent gives us a chance to hit the pause button, to take a deep breath, and to take a break from something we love so that we can rely on and feel closer to and learn about someone that we love, and that someone is God. On Wednesday, which was Ash Wednesday, the beginning of our Lenten season, Reverend Sue read a scripture, and at the very end of it, it reminds us that whatever you're doing to lean into God on your Lenten journey, if you're giving something up or you're adding something, we have to do it because we believe in it and because it draws us closer to God, not because it looks good or it gets us ahead or makes us popular or look like a better Christian than everyone else. If I go around all day bragging about how amazing I am for giving up eating the delicious dark chocolates that Reverend Sue puts in her office for Andrew and I, but I'm not using that practice to genuinely rely on God's strength and to learn more about God's love and faithfulness, then it isn't benefiting anyone, and it isn't really honoring God. It's just about me and chocolate. The passage reminded me of a different passage of Scripture. In fact, it's the one that your carryout connection is based on this week. And you'll see that our Scripture passage is from Romans. Now, we didn't read that passage out loud, but it's still part of the passages that are designated readings for our week. And they're really all connected. That passage from Romans that you're going to read about is about the connection between our heart and our mouth, reminding us that what we say with our mouths, we have to believe with our hearts, and what we believe in our hearts, we have to say with our mouths, so that all can hear about and learn about the love of God. You see, God created us and knows us better than anyone, even better than we know ourselves, and God loves when we are real and authentic and truthful, not when we say or do what is perfect. Lent isn't about being perfect, doing the perfect thing, being sure not to give in to the temptation to sneak a bite of your favorite treat. It's not about talking about how hard it is or how great you are for whatever you're giving up, or being a better Jesus follower than everyone else. Lent is about being real with God the way you would be with a close friend. It's about praying to God. Wow, it's hard to give something up or add something meaningful to my life, but I know it will help me to focus my heart and head on what is most important. But I could sure use your help, God. Lent is all about learning and leaning into God. We always want to be our most real, authentic versions of ourselves as followers of Christ. And in order to do that, I truly believe we have to believe what we say, and we have to say what we believe. Now, you will be doing an activity in your carryout connection this week that will help you to see just how important it is to make sure that the connection between your head and your mouth, between what you say and what you do, is nice and strong. So let's take time to pray, and then we will end in saying our Lord's Prayer together. God, we have a Lenten journey ahead of us during this season of Lent. A big opportunity to slow down and to take a breath and to learn more about you and your love for us. Help us to show up every day and be our wonderful selves, to focus less on what it looks like we're doing to be better followers, and focus more on following you with our hearts, with our mouths, and with our whole lives. All of these things we pray in Christ's name, the one who has taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
I invite you to be with me now in a spirit of prayer. O God, how we long to hear a word from you amid this world filled with trouble, pain, hurt, violence. So quiet our minds, still our hearts, calm our souls, that in the midst of my words, your word might be clearly heard. Amen. On this first Sunday in the season of Lent, as we look at the very familiar account of Jesus' 40-day sojourn in the wilderness, I'd like to begin with the end of our gospel lesson today rather than the beginning. The part where you heard Pastor Addie read, "When the devil had finished every test, he departed from Jesus until an opportune time." Until an opportune time. Now, I must confess, as familiar as this passage is to me, and as many times as I've read it, what struck me this time around was that final statement, implying, suggesting that the devil was waiting to return, just looking for the opportunity. And of course, the phrase that came to my mind, and this doesn't sound very Lent-like, but it's the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger from his Terminator movie back in 1984, "I'll be back." And of course, those words became iconic because they were repeated over and over again in future movies and films. "I'll be back." Yeah. The evil one, the tempter, however you envision this being to be, is ever looking for opportunities to find us with our guard down, always looking for a chance to grab hold of us. The tempter's assurance, "I'll be back," is real. But the good news is that the tempter is no match for the one who says, "I'll never leave you in the first place." The one who is on the journey with us, in it for the long haul. What does it feel like to have that one on the journey with us, in it for the long haul? Well, let's look a bit more closely and see. We discover that Jesus' temptation or test in the wilderness immediately followed his baptism in the muddy River Jordan. So in a very real sense, still dripping wet, he was led into the wilderness. Now, when I say the word wilderness, what do you envision? What comes to mind? I'd be willing to bet that we have as many visions or images of wilderness here this morning as there are people. But I suspect that we would all agree that a wilderness place tends to be one where there are few other human beings. Physically speaking, a place where we find ourselves pretty much alone. Now, Jesus was, physically speaking, pretty much alone in the wilderness, but not entirely. We know from having heard the account of what happened there that every time the tempter came at him, Jesus responded by quoting scripture from the book of Deuteronomy, from the Psalms. So he was carrying with him forebears in the faith, present with him on the journey, as of course was God, no doubt, to whom he cried out in his 40 days of longing for food and longing for companionship. I can't help but wonder, did he expect to be spending that long in the wilderness? Or did he lose track of time? Many folks I've talked to in recent days talk about how the pandemic has skewed our perception of time. We lose track of time. Things that happened just 2 years ago seem ages ago, and yet other things seem as though they were yesterday. And remembering what day of the week it is sometimes is a bit challenging, confusing. Perhaps that was the case for Jesus as he struggled in the wilderness, trying to sort out how he was supposed to do the important work of being God's son in this world. There he was, alone but not entirely, seeking to respond in ways that would equip him for what lie ahead. A Lutheran pastor, in reflecting on this passage of Scripture, makes this observation. Maybe the true comfort of this passage is not that Jesus stood firm against the tempter, while we ourselves tend to, well, not do so well when we promise to have given up chocolate and things, but rather that we're not alone in the wilderness. Not only are we not alone, we have a community of faith. We have the promises of God. Like Jesus, we do not head into the wild without feeling the waters of baptism still dripping down our foreheads, without hearing those very same words Jesus heard when he came out of the Jordan River, "My beloved son." We hear God calling us beloved children as well. And those of you who attend worship regularly know that week in and week out, we remind you in a multitude of ways, we are not alone on this journey. God is in this with us. Christ is beside us every step of the way. Now, we could focus this morning on the tests that Jesus experienced in the wilderness, but I'd like to focus instead simply on tests in general and make a few observations about the tests we all experience in life. Now, I don't know about you, but even though I loved school and I loved learning and I never minded assignments, I wasn't particularly fond of tests, especially not of the standardized variety. And I see some of you smiling and nodding. The one thing good about school tests was, for the most part, we knew when they were coming. They were listed in the syllabus, or the teacher would tell us about those tests, and we could adequately prepare. Of course, every now and then there was the pop quiz. I will always remember a 10th grade teacher I had who loved pop quizzes, to our dismay, and not surprisingly, her name was Mrs. Stern. Who knows? But it occurs to me that those pop quizzes are a lot more like the tests we experience in life. We don't get to schedule them. We don't always feel prepared for them. They happen, and we need to respond. The question is, does God test us? Or does the testing come from somewhere else? In 2017, Pope Francis famously argued that God does not test us. In fact, he went so far as to suggest that when we pray the Lord's Prayer, which we do week in and week out, that instead of praying, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil," that a better translation from the original language would read like this: "Do not let us enter into temptation." So instead of "lead us not into temptation," "do not let us enter into temptation." Think about that. James, in his little letter in the New Testament, also argues adamantly that God tests no one and points out we suffer temptation due to our own desires. The problem is, there are stories, there are accounts in Scripture that seem to indicate clearly God does test human beings. Take, for example, Abraham. God asked Abraham to kill his own son and offer him as a living sacrifice. Fortunately, that did not have to happen, but God tested him nonetheless. And then God wrestled with Jacob. So what do we do with those scripture passages, along with others we find that seem to indicate a different message? And even looking at today's lesson, the description of what happened to Jesus in the wilderness, the three gospel writers who include this account all tell it just a little bit differently. So, for example, in Mark, Not surprisingly, a very brief account that doesn't even identify all three of the temptations. Mark does not name those temptations, nor does he say whether it is God's will for Satan to test Jesus. In Matthew's gospel, the Spirit leads Jesus into the wilderness in order to tempt him, but then it is the tempter who does the testing, and the devil hightails it out of there as soon as he's done. Luke's account, like Matthew's, is a bit unclear. It's hard to tell whether or not the Spirit, God, and the devil are in cahoots. But what we do know, as I've already indicated, is that the devil was waiting for an opportune time to return. Perhaps the most often misquoted verse of Scripture focusing on testing comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. In the New Revised Standard Version of Scripture, we read this: "No testing has overtaken you that is not common to everyone. God is faithful and will not let you be tested beyond your strength, but will with the test provide a way out so that you may be able to endure it." More often than not, that familiar verse becomes translated as, "God will never give you more than you can handle." Well-meaning Christians share those words with others every chance they get. But that's not quite what this scripture passage is all about. For starters, it's not directed to individuals. It's directed to a group of people, the Christians in the Corinthian church, new believers struggling. Jesus speaking to them as a group, so that the you is plural, not singular. And it is about the tests that we find in life every single day. The point that Paul attempts to make in this passage of Scripture is that when tests come, thankfully, we as people of faith have those around us who can support us, who can help us on the journey. We do not have to do this alone. None of us could endure if we had to do it alone. But the assurance here is that life's tests come amid the promise that we have a community of faith and a God who meets us in the tests. This passage of Scripture also does not equate human suffering with testing from on high. So to suggest that someone's horrible suffering in life is God testing them is almost cruel and certainly painful, because that is not what this suggests. Life tests us. Situations test us. Illnesses test us. People test us, and God meets us in those tests and helps us to endure. A significant difference between God doesn't give you anything you can't handle. Alone, we can't handle it. With God, with our community of faith, with the support and prayers of others, what a difference it makes. So whether we're talking about a wilderness temptation or the temptation and testing we experience as Christians every single day of our lives, the tempter may say, "I'll be back." But the one we have chosen to follow says, "I'll never leave you. I will be there for you." And that promise is true not only for the season of Lent, but for the entire journey that is our life here on this earth. As we journey through Lent together as a community of faith, may we help each other endure the tests. May we look for God in the midst of the tests, not attributing them as God being the cause, but knowing that God will walk beside us every step of the way, helping us endure, showing us a way out, giving us hope for what yet lies ahead. Amen. It is with great joy today that we have the opportunity to install our new council members and to celebrate yet again those who have been continuing to serve on our church council. We weren't able to do that last year, so this comes with special joy this year. We're going to call to your attention what is noted in the bulletin. And council members, as you come forward, as we read your names, we're going to invite you to bring your bulletins with you so that you have them handy as we share in the liturgy that is printed. Pastor Addy and I are going to be introducing our council members, and you will note that there is a little indicator alongside the names of those who are new to church council. Folk, as you come forward, new church council members, we're going to invite you to form just a little semicircle right here in front of Pastor Addy and I, so that you are close to us for the laying on of hands. And those of you who have been serving as council members, we'll invite you to claim a place on the steps and around them and behind them, so that we can all connect then for the laying on of hands. I hope that's clear as mud. If not, we'll just move you a little bit as you come forward, not to worry. So remember to bring your bulletins with you. And I'm going to begin by introducing our deacons this morning. Among our deacons, we have Scott Vanderberg, Francis Freilig, Bonnie Moyer, Don Gibson, Becky Gordon, and Rick Fanciulacci. And we're going to invite you all to come forward. Don't be afraid. Remember, new folk on board, come closest to Pastor Addy and to me.
Our Board of Educators, we welcome Lisa Thim, Janet Morton, Jen Gilbert, Michelle Forsyth, Sarah Hogan, and Kathy and Tom Allabach.
And I'm going to ask you folks to face toward us for the laying on of hands, okay? Rick, you come on forward. You're one of our new folks, Kathy and Tom. Perfect. Come on up forward. Don't be afraid. There we go.
You can be in front of us. It's okay.
All right. Our elders, Barbara Ann Probst, Sue Clemens, Jim Stevenson, Debbie Hendricks, Sally Atkiss, and Susan Fitzpatrick.
And our Board of Trustees, Mark Bruin, Mike Donahue, Alan Johnston, David Douglas, Dan Panachida, and Mark O'Neill.
All right, so far so good here. And we still have a little bit more room, which is good. We want to invite our officers and committee chairs, our President Bill Leslie, Vice President Liz Rivett, our Secretary Wendy O'Connor, Treasurer Matt Carson, Finance Committee Chair Grace Bruin, and Personnel Committee Chair Liz Vanderberg.
Got some space over here.
Yeah, new folk, come close.
Good, good, good. All right.
All right. All right, I invite you to follow along in your bulletins. Sisters and brothers in Christ, it is an honor to be entrusted with responsibility for particular service in the ministry of the church, whether gathered or scattered. Having prayerfully considered the duties and responsibilities of your ministry, are you prepared to serve with the help of God in Christ's name and for the glory of God?
Do you promise to exercise your ministry diligently and faithfully, showing forth the love of Christ?
Members of this community of faith, you have heard the promises of our brothers and sisters in Christ who have answered God's call to service. Let us affirm our intention to live in covenant with them.
We gather in celebration of the joy that is ours to be partners with you in the service of Jesus Christ. We promise to love you, honor your leadership, and assist you that together we may be a faithful church of Jesus Christ.
We always include with the installation of our new council members the laying on of hands. You've heard us refer to this in the past as a sacrament of touch, a reminder to us of our connectedness to those who have gone before us, to those who have served the church faithfully all the way back to the disciples and the time of Jesus. As we lay our hands on each one of our new council members, I'm going to invite those who are behind them to simply reach forward and connect with them by putting a hand on a shoulder so that everyone here is connected to one another as we enter into this important work of doing God's work here at St. John's. And as many of you have noted, this is a particularly important time in the life of our church, as much needs to be attended to, important decisions need to be made. And those of you serving on church council and in leadership positions, your role is a critical one. And we are surrounding you and the work you do with our prayers. So during this silent time of laying on of hands, we invite you as a congregation to also be in a spirit of prayer. And now, council members, I'm going to invite you to turn around so people can see who you are and express their gratitude for your willingness to serve.
Please watch yourself on the steps.
Thank you so much, and you may head back to your
Thank
seats.
You.
Let the good work begin.
Lots of switching gears this morning, but as we prepare ourselves to enter into a time of prayer, as always, I have joys and concerns to lift up, those that have been shared among us through the course of the week. We have quite a few joys and concerns, but I'll begin with our joys. Jean Rochong will celebrate her 90th birthday on March 12th. We celebrate with Jean. Matt Carson also celebrated his birthday this past week, and Tyler Melahowski, and I believe Leslie Leslie celebrates her birthday this upcoming week? Yeah. That's my Facebook stalking hard at work. So Tyler Melahowski, Leslie Hendricks both celebrate birthdays this week. Of course, we lift up in prayer our new council members like we just did, but we give thanks for all willing hearts and hands at St. John's who help to do the work that is called for us to do. Also, John Hendricks wrote a note thanking all for prayers and concerns during recent hospital stay. It is certainly good for him to be back among us, and he notes it's good to be healthy and back with you this Sunday. We have a few concerns to lift up. We keep in our prayers Alexandra, who was lifted up by a woman who attends our 8 o'clock service, Denise. She has been diagnosed with cancer. Continued prayers for Diane Butt, who remains at Abington Hospital. She can certainly use our prayers for strength and for healing. a reminder, but also lifting up in prayer, that the memorial service for Gail Bupp will be held next Sunday at 3 p.m. here at St. John's. We also keep in our prayers Robert Johnston, brother of Alan Johnston, who is in Lehigh Valley Hospital for some testing. Of course, our ongoing prayers are with the people of Ukraine and all those impacted by the devastation and violence of war. We also keep in our prayers many who have come to us expressing concern and a deep connection with Ukraine and Ukrainian people. So many are bearing the pain of this, and so we lift all of that in prayer. As always, knowing that we come to this time of worship, and particularly to a time of prayer, with lots of joys and concerns of our own, names and faces and situations and stories that weigh heavy on our hearts and minds, so I invite you to bring those to mind now as we lift them up together to God in prayer. Loving God, we hear about Jesus being called by the Spirit into the wilderness. We know that for 40 days, Jesus was faced with hunger, with doubt, with temptation, and fear. But we also know that it was you who was leading him. In the unknown of the wilderness, in the peak of temptation and darkness, you were there, leading, guiding, and holding. So we come to you this morning, O God, asking that you lead us on a path lit by your love. In the times when you are silent, grant us the patience and the courage to wait and to listen, trusting in your grace that makes a way where there is no way, your grace that forges a way ahead when all we see are dead ends. We bring to you, O God, our grieving over what is unfolding in our world, our lamenting about what has been lost, peace, homes, safety, lives. We bring to you our fears about what the future might hold, our temptation to face hatred with hatred, and our regret for times where we have gotten distracted from your call that you have for each of us, times that we have been distracted and missed the signs of you all around. Remind us that you are all around us, O God. You are in the ways that we care for one another, the ways we pray for one another. May we catch glimpses of your love and grace in the little things. May our every thought, word, and action be of benefit to the greater good. May our every thought, word, and action be a prayer for peace, for justice, for a tomorrow that is free from suffering. God, we pray that you be with all those who need hope to hold on to this day. Whatever we face, fear, grief, loneliness, despair, be present with us. We pray especially this day for Alexandra and for Denise, for Diane, for all who will gather to celebrate Gail's life, for Robert, for the people of Ukraine. May your promises shine brightly through whatever darkness each of these people face. God, we also take time to rejoice with those who are rejoicing, for those celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and milestones. We think of Jean, Matt, Tyler and Leslie, John, and we give thanks for all hearts and hands who come together to do the work you have called St. John's as a community to do. God, as we journey further into the season of Lent, journey with us. As we enter into wilderness times, as we continue to live in a world of unrest, remind us that with you there is another way, a way of hope and peace. Remind us of our covenant with you and your covenant with us, a one of steadfast love. All of these things we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
As you arrived for worship today, you placed your offering in the plates by the doors. We pause now to dedicate them, to ask God's blessing on these gifts as we join together in singing our doxology. Let us sing together. God, your love, so amazing, so divine, does indeed demand our lives, our souls. We offer them to you along with our gifts, praying that you will bless these gifts, use them in ways that make a difference. May we be good stewards of all that is entrusted to our care, not only here in the life of St. John's, but each day as we go about sharing your love and living our faith, making sure that what we believe in our hearts matches the words we speak and share with others. Bless these gifts and bless us as we continue to seek to be faithful servants of you and your work. In Christ's name, amen. As you prepare to go out into the world this day, a reminder to our confirmands and our new council members, confirmation class and orientation for new council members will take place in the church library after worship. You don't need to rush over there, but that's where we will eventually end up. And as you go out into the world this day, to be tested for sure, because life tests us, situations test us, people test us. This world tests us. Know that you are not alone, that Jesus' words to us are, "I'll never leave you." As you go out into the world, may you go in peace. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as you do, may God's light surround you. May God's love enfold you. May God's power protect you. May God's peace sustain you, now and always. Amen.